Nokia finds its future in the past, Door encourages piracy, and we finally get to a few apps this week on Android App Addicts. Episode 524. I am your sometimes host, Mark, the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and I'm here, like you, I am here to hear from these two great, wise, and wonderful human beings. Eric, the executive, the great one, the manager, Ardini, and Steve, the door-to-door geek, the wisest of them all, McLaughlin. Hey, gentlemen.
Hey, Mark. How's it going? You know, I was wondering today, is Mark AI? I've never actually met him in person, and he's like super perfect. So I was wondering, Door, have you met him in person? Or is he just some kind of a HoloLens figment of our, like a manifestation of what we would want for a host?
I'm not artificial intelligence. I'm artificial sarcastic stupidity, also known as ass.
Artificial.
You had that waiting in the wings, just like a machine would to try to prove that they're not
You're
a
right.
machine.
Yes. Good point, Door.
That is funny.
So I would like, is it too early for New Year's resolutions? I think November is never too early. I would like to make a New Year's resolution ahead of time. I think sometime in 2019, I'd like to meet him to see if it's for real. That's going to be my goal. And Door's got to be there too. I've met him. Door's definitely real. But yeah, if we could all three maybe hang out for a day or so, that'd be awesome.
Hey, well, Door's always open.
I'll be very honest with you guys. I don't picture myself affording the ability to go to the PodFest Multimedia Expo in Orlando this year. It's not cheap. We technically have a PodNuts conference scheduled for September in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I call it PodNuts conference because, you know, it's Jeff and Paco, and I think of them as PodNuts people.
Yeah.
It's TechCon 2019 Grand Rapids, Michigan, late September. Which I have to go to. If I don't go to, I'm an embarrassment to myself.
Okay. So we might have to wait that long.
All right.
Yeah. Not necessarily.
I could drive to Atlanta or we could all meet in St. Louis.
Well, there is no conference I know of in Atlanta.
We don't have to go to a conference. We just got to go have some ribs.
I know, but if it's a business write-off, it helps me a great deal.
You can buy us some ribs.
That's not a business write-off.
Oh.
If the three of us get together and talk about the show, it officially becomes a business trip.
Yeah, you can buy us lunch, man. You're trying to keep us on the show. We're protesting, and this is your way to get us back. I don't know, something like that. I'll vouch for you, man. It was totally legit.
Big boom as I bang the microphone. And artificial intelligence wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I've heard them say now, so they might.
Somebody in the soon-to-be-defunct Android App Addicts Google Play Google community, Google Hangout. What is it? Google Plus. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Community suggested that we should put our Christmas wish lists somewhere so that dedicated listeners could purchase us Christmas presents. I just thought I'd make that known. I don't know that I have any Christmas presents other than, you know, peace and goodwill toward men. But that's a thing that somebody asked about.
Yeah, that's cool.
I don't remember who.
So I could make an Amazon wish list. Actually, there's probably stuff in my Amazon wish list that I probably don't want at this point from years ago.
See, I use my Amazon wish list for things. Well, maybe that's what it's for. It's like, I want to keep track of this thing. Like right now, there's a waffle iron in there because someday I might want to make waffles, but I've never made a public wish list.
Yeah.
You see, I almost do the opposite. I go to Camel with one of my bogus email accounts that I don't really use, and I enter the item in there, and then I say, when it hits this price, send me an email. Like, you know, something that normally costs $100. When it's down to like $35, send me an email. And that's my, I guess, wish list.
Can you do that? Is there anything that does that for like Walmart.com or Target.com other than, you know, just Amazon?
For all I know, Camel supports more than just Amazon, but I know of no other service that offers such a thing. There might be some kind of weird if this, then that routine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some sort of screen scraper maybe.
Yeah, well, that's all. Well, back in the day of Yahoo Pipes, this would have been easy to do ourselves, but since Yahoo Pipes has now been dead for what seems like a decade, I'm not sure how to do it unless we have a screen scraper and an instance of Node-RED running on a addressable server. I don't know. Thinking.
Because I've got some Black Friday things that I would like to be tracking, right? But they're not all at Amazon. For example.
I thought I was the one who was drunk tonight.
Yeah. I need two new Fitbits because my company has this thing where if you wear a Fitbit and you track your sleep and your activity, you get free money on your health.
And if you wear one on each hand, that's double the points?
No, it's just that the one they offered us was the cheapest one possible, the $79 version, like 4 years ago. I've already burned through that, and I'm now wearing a refurb that I bought on eBay that is super glued together. My wife is on her third refurb, also super glued together. So I'd like to buy actual new ones for the first time, but they're like $180 or something, and no, not going to happen.
So you're rocking like the Charge HR? Is that what you got?
No, not even the HR, just the Charge.
Okay.
It's that old. Yeah. It's a blue, like, what I didn't know at the time when I bought it is this little thing here, and terrible audio podcasting. This band, like, is the thing.
And they're
like,
not replaceable. Nothing. Yeah.
No.
I bought my wife a Charge HR for Christmas a year or two ago. I've now upgraded her to an Android Wear OS, Huawei watch or something. And she likes that a lot better, but it has the HR on it too. She wanted that. Yeah.
But unfortunately, the GIF app, J-I-F, which is what we use, doesn't support, it only partly supports Google Fit, and it, you know, it really only well supports the Fitbit app. And of course, the Fitbit software doesn't work with any other hardware. So I'd love to go buy a $25 Mi Band and call it good, but I can't find any collection of third-party apps that when I put them all together will do what a Fitbit does.
Yeah, well, the good thing, the newer Fitbits, you can change the bands out. I think they got enough complaints about the Charge that they've changed that, I think.
They're just garbage devices. They're the world's leading fitness tracker, and they're garbage devices.
Yeah, she was going to get the smartphone version of a Fitbit, and I started showing her pictures of them. I'm like, well, look at the display on this. Look at how many dots per square inch are going to be in that thing. You can get everything you need, and she doesn't have to, you know, register with her insurance company or work or nothing. So I talked her out of it just by the looks of their screen on their version of a smartwatch and upgraded her to a Wear OS. So she was, it wasn't too hard to convince her, actually. I was surprised because she'd been a Fitbit wearer for quite a while.
So anyway, didn't mean to take us down that rabbit hole, but
the chat room says, try the BF Ads app. It lets you search and see all the Black Friday ads.
Yeah. The thing is, I'm not getting out of bed that day at 5 in the morning. It has to be online stuff. So, anyway.
I think
but I want it on my terms.
Deal News, you can set notifications up for certain search terms. Dealnews.com.
All right. Anyway.
Well, yeah, and I'll say, listening to economics people's, we in America are trying to now change Black Friday from being a single day event to literally like being the entire season of event. There are already places that have started to run sales, and it's a week before Thanksgiving, and they expect to have sales up to the day of Christmas. And then there's Boxing Day, where we're going to also have some more sales things. And the reason is in China, they just celebrated Singles Day, and within 8 seconds, they beat last year's number, which was $8 billion in sales. And they had $30 billion in sales this year in Singles Day. And America thinks, you know, they think that in typical America terms, we can do better than that. And of course, we're not even remotely close to that. So they're trying to now make it a different type of holiday where it's a longer holiday with more spending. Like, we don't spend enough.
I was talking to somebody today whose husband works for UPS, and they said that they have already exceeded their single largest one-day shipping for this year. They've already eclipsed what last year was, and it's not even Black Friday yet. So.
Wow. It ain't coming here, I'll tell you that. Is Black Friday still mean what it used to? It used to be the day that the retailers would go out of the red and into the black for their year.
That was the goal.
It's figuratively, right. You can make your year in a day, yeah.
Right. And that's really all it was. I'll say this, there's so many like seasonal companies and so many companies that offer their own little niche, and you know, certain companies are only certain times of the year, like right now. Halloween sale stores are multinational organizations that literally only operate for like 3 months out of the year, and they make like over $1.6 billion a year.
It's
not 3 months, it's 3 weeks out of the year.
Yeah. I really saw them. I don't know. You guys may have had them in the larger metropolises before. I've never seen those kind of stores pop up, and they were all over the place this year.
Yeah, and they're at malls paying mall prices, you know, for a 1 month rent. So they've got to be making serious bank.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'll say the number one selling phone on Singles Day in China was manufacturer was Honor, which is the phone that I just got, the Huawei Honor P20 Lite. But the Honor brand was the number one selling brand on that day, which to me is good because Huawei is now actually trying to launch stuff in the UK. They just had a very, I believe it was a Xiaomi actually had a horrible launch in the UK. Bad marketing, bad press. It didn't come out right kind of thing. You can blame it because it had to go through translation, but that really isn't the case. And Honor is this year going to make another attempt to try to broaden their market to become an actual world phone. And I'll just say this. We need competition severely bad in this country. HTC and LG are not giving enough competition, is what I'll say. They're just not. We need more stuff. Moto is doing great in South America. They're not doing great here. Samsung is the only one selling in this country with any numbers. We need more competition.
Just one quick diversion before we jump into the apps. Regarding your latest episode of the DDG podcast, really, really props to you on getting all your numbers back in line and taking command of your health door. Proud of you is a stupid thing to say, but congratulations.
And I thank you, Mark, but I tell you, it's the kind of thing where I said to self, you know, I don't really have a choice. I'm not afraid of death at all, in any shape, way, or form. I am afraid of very slow, long, drawn out, painful death. And then that's what diabetes is. I've seen multiple family members suffer through it for long periods of time. And I just don't, you know, to quote Homie the Clown, Homie don't play that. I just don't want to do that. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to lose my vision even more. I don't want to lose parts of my, like fingers or toes or feet. I don't want to be on dialysis my entire life. So I just, you know, and without sounding dumb, you know, it's perspective. Perspective is reality. I'm loving cheese, ham, sausage, eggs, bacon, delicious. Just no breads, no rices, no potatoes, no pastas. I miss pizza.
I made a deep dish Chicago style pizza the other day, Dor. And what I did is I took a 1 pound chunk of pork sausage and I took my my biggest cast iron skillet. So I laid the pork sausage in at the bottom. So that was basically the crust was one full layer of pork sausage across the whole bottom and put a bunch of Italian seasonings on top of that. And this is how Chicago style pizza's made almost, because if you go to Lou Malnati's pizza, it's the crust is first, then it's the cheese, then it's a layer of sausage, an entire floor of sausage, and then the sauce is on top of that with like the veggies and stuff thrown on top of it, and then a little bit of cheese on top of that. So I basically just took the crust part out, and it turned out pretty good, and I'm actually going to make another one tomorrow night. I gotta do a bunch of readings of names at a Christmas tree lighting thing for memorials, but after that I'm coming home and making another one. It was that good.
So do a Google search for fathead pizza crust. One word, fathead. It's primarily almond flour and cream cheese, but It is the best no-carb or very low-carb pizza crust ever. And I got pizza back in my life because my wife found a recipe for fathead pizza crust.
Well, I will have to try that.
Yeah. So welcome to Dieters R Us.
We do this again?
Yeah, and the one thing I'll end on is, it isn't easy. Life isn't supposed to be easy. If it was easy, it wouldn't be called life. It'd be called party time kind of thing. It sucks being hungry for like a year straight, 18 months straight, but you know, it could be worse.
Hey, there ain't no food that tastes as good as I look, man. Is that your new slogan? You just use that for a slogan, Dor, and you'll feel good.
No. And Eric, to like shoot now, to pull out old wrestling lingo on you, to shoot on you. No, I don't feel good at all. The half the reason I have this facial hair is because it's like...
No, I didn't say it's feel good. I said look good.
No, I don't think I look good.
No food tastes as good as you look. Now you don't like the facial hair? All right, Dor.
All right, so let's talk about an Android app or two, you know, just because that's the name of the show. So, Dory, you're the boss. Why don't you start us off?
Well, the first thing I want to bring, it's not an Android app, but it is somebody doing a smaller phone in what I would consider to be the only correct way to do a smaller phone, and that is the Nokia 106 is the name of the phone, and it literally looks like one of the old phones with a small screen at the top, big number panel at the bottom, and it's a 1.8-inch screen. This is the kind of phone where I'm really tempted for the future to get like my parents and my in-law parents kind of thing when they need a phone. This is the type of phone I'm now tempted to get them because they do like the idea of having like Bluetooth connectivity to their phone, to their cars. They do like the idea of doing navigation through their phone, but I don't think they like the idea of having a big screen, a big phone, because they look at it like the battery sucks. Why do I have to charge it every day? The last phone I had would go a week. And the bigger the phones are like that, to be honest, they're almost fragile in comparison to previous generations of phones. So I would hope this would also be at least a touch more durable than the normal phone.
So Nokia was sweeping out one of their warehouses and they found a box of unopened, or a crate of unopened boxes from 1997, and said, we're going to rebrand this thing and call it a modern phone. That is exactly the same phone Nokia was selling in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be fine, but they can't charge $400 for this and only give it 4 megs of RAM. Why wouldn't they bump it up at least to a gig or 2 gigs of RAM? So then when you do connect to something Bluetooth, it's super nice, not whatever this, and no. Door knock.
And store up to 500 SMS messages.
That why? The price of memory and RAM is so cheap now, there's no reason for, that's just, I do like the FM radio it has in it. That's pretty cool. But there's no reason to have that low of specs, unless Mark's correct. Being AI, he probably is, that they found a box, and it wasn't just the old phones, it was just, you know, these old motherboards. So they took their mold for their silver phone and made it matte black and reprinted those in their, you know, diecast or whatever it is. That's too low of specs, though, I mean, for this day and age.
Are you trying to say that a screen resolution of 160 by 120 isn't enough?
No, that's okay. You know, that's not the issue. If you're going to have a screen that small, you probably do want that kind of resolution. But this isn't going to be usable. I mean, I couldn't Bluetooth pair anything to my old Nokia phones like that and have it be, you know, decent.
That was really only just a matter of what spectrum of Bluetooth it was using, I'll say. That's the only thing that's going to affect really Bluetooth performance like that. Because the old Bluetooth literally had, I want to say it was about 1/200th the spectrum of a Bluetooth 4.0.
It is voice only. It's a nice novelty. You know, if they were going to do this, bump up the specs a little bit. It doesn't have to be huge, but do the flip phone with the, like somebody like Fabric Face in the comments on this webpage says, where are the dual screens? So put a little, at least time screen on the outside of the phone, flip it open, you know, and then have your cheap phone inside.
Right. And also real quick, Eric, now to say that, I have to, correct myself because last week, okay, I saw 3 videos of the foldable phone.
Mm.
The Samsung one, you were correct, closes inward like a book, where the inside of the book is the screen. Every other tablet phone that I saw, foldable phone I saw, was the opposite. The outside of the book was the screen. I'm not going to say one is right and one is the wrong way to do it. I'll just say if the screen is on the outside, then you only need the one screen. If the screen's on the inside of the book, then you have to have some other screen on the outside of the device.
Yeah, if the screen's on the outside, it's easier to do, I would say.
I don't know. I don't know if it's easier. And we saw more, I believe, official Samsung renders of how this thing is going to look. And I got to say, horrible. I am a nerd that doesn't mind looking like a nerd, okay?
Yeah.
I would never pull that damn thing out anywhere. It has the horrible hinge that was on the Microsoft Surface Book, I think it was.
You know, before you even said that, I was going to say, people pull out Surface Books all the time, and they're not nerds. That's just... That's just design, man. I couldn't believe the places I see Surfaces these days. And the people who have them, you would think they're almost iPads. There's so many. That is the computer now. It's weird.
Right. I'll just say the ones that I saw were actually on YouTube on the official Samsung channel. And it looked like no. It looked like there's no way in 6 months or something it wouldn't be broke.
I don't know, man. If the non-nerds are using Surfaces, they would probably flock to something as geeky as that. Maybe we're losing our geek cred somehow, where it's been appropriated by the norms. Is that possible?
Well, it is like the Windows 8.1-ification of stuff, where they don't want to sell stuff to us. They want to sell stuff to everyone who's not a fan, because we're already fans. We're already going to buy stuff. But this just looks horrible. Horrible. I'm going to make sure I find at least a link to how the one video looked. And it is a joke. The hinge looks so just bad. I mean, I sound like George Bush Sr. Bad, bad,
wouldn't be prudent. Put a hinge right there.
Well, the roll-up screen is just right around the corner and has been for about 15 years. So any day now, that's going to solve all our problems.
True. Yeah, that's next.
Yeah.
Just one more comment on this Nokia 106. The thing that'll make this work is if by standard components, it comes with a nifty pleather belt clip holster.
Oh, yeah.
That'll really put it over the top.
Or even a leather thing that you put over the whole phone, and then the plastic, the vinyl, the clear vinyl over the screen, because it's not like it's touch screen anyway, but then you get like the air bubbles stuck in there sometimes. It's a little hard to read, but you know, whatever, it's protected.
Yeah, because you want to protect that $400 investment.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's old enough that you could probably call Captain Marvel on it.
Yeah, Stanley.
Just me.
He's dead. Okay. Yeah, I'll say this. Me, I never read any comics because I don't read anything ever. I, without a shadow of a doubt, understand the importance and the severity of someone like Stan Lee passing away. There's few people on this planet who I think has affected more people directly or indirectly than Stan Lee and his work. His body of work is what I'll say. I think comics and superheroes as we know it will never be the same again.
I heard today that he has already pre-recorded dozens of film spots that he's appearing himself in all of these upcoming, like dozens of upcoming movies.
He doesn't need to. They'll just AI him in and yeah, put in CGI true. And
yeah. Whatever. But yeah, it was something he did though.
Grand Moff Tarkin, you can certainly bring back Stanley.
Well, and the beautiful thing is, it doesn't matter how he appears. This is the golden thing about the Stanley cameo. It literally can be the camera panning by a television set with a picture of him on it from an interview from 76. And that, bam, there's a Stanley cameo.
Counts. Yeah.
It can be anything. That's the golden thing. I will agree with one of his statements. He said, "I know I am successful when the Hollywood industry creates a new award called the best cameo of the year." And he hasn't done that yet, and I really hope it comes to fruition. Just like I said about the Roseanne show, and I'm going to say this, I was right that they would say that she's dead and start a whole new show again, and they did that. I called that literally weeks before it happened. Now I'm calling it again. Because of Stan Lee's death, I want to have Hollywood, people in Hollywood with influence, literally rail for it. Argue for it. Make an award called the best cameo of the year, because we need to pay homage to somebody who has honestly been a benefit to a lot of humanity. He made superhero characters with genuine human flaws that allowed everybody to connect with. That's not normal.
All right. I got nothing else to say. How about an app?
Okay. I have my apps this week are geared towards Thanksgiving. Not in the turkey sense, but these are all apps that you can kind of get away from everybody, sit on the couch after you eat, you talk to your nephew and niece and whatever. That's cool. Now it's just everybody sitting around getting drunker and you're still there. And when you're just over there sitting on the couch, these are all, These are all some apps that you can just use for yourself. This is the first app, and this is the only one that's not a game. This is Yahoo Sports, scores, stats, news, and highlights. They are now offering, when you install this, and they say they don't allow Chromecast, but they are streaming live NFL games on your phone to this if you're a sports guy, and for some reason they're watching HGTV at the family Thanksgiving dinner. They are streaming NFL games on your phone, and you can watch them on there, and it's not costing you anything.
Well, I go to the app Yahoo Sports Scores, Stats, and News and Highlights, and I click the first thing, which is a video, and I click it, and I get video unavailable. So they might do video in the app, but their video in the Play Store right now, go boom.
Yeah, I don't know. I got no idea. They probably decided that when they added the NFL, or maybe they just like, you know what? Those guys always say if it's got a video, it sucks. So let's take our video out, but let's not do it all the way, just in case the Android App Addicts guys were wrong. So I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt. I have not watched a video on Yahoo Sports yet, and I haven't watched an NFL game on Yahoo Sports yet. But I just wanted to let everybody know that it's there. I had a hard time watching a game a couple weeks ago when I had people over at my house because Comcast can't even stream cable to me correctly.
Well, I'll just say this. Not that I do this. Not that I condone this. Not that I would ever have this loaded on, you know, multiple devices right now today, but I'm just saying, you know, that there's this thing called Kodi that used to be called XBMC, where you can load a thing like a thing called Loki, you know, like Thor Loki. And when you load Loki, it's literally a dynamic menu that every time you basically click it, it checks. And if it's not new, it will go to the internet and pull it. So every menu is dynamically created. So, for instance, if this was Sunday morning at 11:59, you know, or noon, or 1 o'clock, I believe, is when it starts. And then you open up that Loki menu right there, it will have NFL, and you click NFL, and then it will dynamically create the next menu, which will be all the games in order of start time. And then it will have like Buffalo versus New York and New York versus Buffalo. So you can get either, and then you just click it, and then literally half a second later, ba-dang. It's crystal clear.
On your phone?
On my television set. Well, Kodi is loadable on Android or on full desktop computers, okay. So it could be either or. And let's just say, hypothetically, there's a UFC event. You know, the ones that cost like $80. You could literally just load up this thing called Loki, and then you just click on UFC, and then bam, right there, UFC 229. You click it, and a couple of seconds later, you're watching UFC.
Well, that is a fascinating theoretical positing of something that would never actually happen in reality.
Right. Yeah, that's far-fetched. What I did in that situation when I couldn't get regular cable to give me a game, I downloaded YouTube TV and enjoyed their free 5-day trial and watched that game. And then, so next time I'll use Fubo for their free five-day trial when I need to do this again. And then after that, I'll do a Hulu free 5-day trial if I need to do it again after that. And then there's always DirecTV now that I could use their free 5-day trial. So I'll get probably all the way through the season of NFL if I ever have that happen again. And I'll never break a law or even have any, you know,
well, no.
Any
here's
weird
the thing.
Stuff.
You're not breaking a law. You're not breaking a law. You need to stop thinking you're breaking a law. No one has ever had anything happen to them for in their own home privately streaming any content. There is nothing the federal government can do to you. Do you hear me, Donald Trump? There is nothing the federal government can do to you. The only charges that have ever been on anybody when it comes to content is when they are streaming but then sharing it back out again or downloading music and sharing it back out again. There is nothing they can do.
But is it
all they can do is just say, you appear to be doing illegal activity. And all you got to say is what? No, see, I don't have a password, I think, on my network, you know, and I had my kids' nephews come over, and they were doing all kinds of bad stuff and playing Fortnite.
You know, I used to use that justification for years, that I totally kept my Wi-Fi wide open for that reason, in case I did anything, because I used to be so paranoid. In case I did anything, I had that out, you know, in case I accidentally stumbled upon something.
Two things, Dor. Thing one, Donald Trump is not listening to this podcast. It's just not happening. Thing two, Just because there's a low likelihood of you being caught does not mean you're not breaking a law.
No, there is nothing they can do to you. There is no law for watching the content. It is the redistribution of the content which is an infraction. Read the letter of the law. Right,
but you're participating in it. The redistribution is a two-way process. One who sends it and the one who receives it.
Nope.
So
I'm a victim of, like, if I'm on the opposite side of a murder, I'm not guilty of murder.
So this isn't like BitTorrent. You're not simultaneously streaming it in and holding bits of it to stream out to others. You're not.
Right. Right. And I'll say this. If you are truly paranoid, then just get a VPN. Done.
You know, that brings me to something.
Well, a good VPN. Let me say that.
I just want to be a quick advocate here for there's the paranoid and then there's you're not going to get caught. And then there's the right thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And I'm just going to leave it right there.
Right's in the eye of the beholder. There is no right. Perception is reality.
Okay.
That's my AI talking right there. Google Fi just announced that they have a VPN. I tried to get it for 2 days now, but it won't let me do it. So Project Fi is getting changed to Google Fi. They're dropping the project. It's an official product for the next, 3 months until they decide to give up on it. And so they also have it's a VPN already for their mobile MVNO network, but now they will also, all of your traffic, Wi-Fi and mobile, will go through a VPN soon. And I guess this is somehow they can control it a little better, so you'll never... it's a bonus that it's got the VPN, but then they're using it for their own purposes so that you're switching over from Wi-Fi and back and forth to mobile, whatever signal's better, is more seamless. You won't see any glitching or much less glitching than you may now when you're switching back and forth like that. So it's, but they do say that it will end up using more data because it'll probably end up switching over to the mobile more often. Trade-off, I'll take it. Now I don't have to go get my own VPN. I've got one through Fi, which I don't know. Is going through Google really a VPN? Or is that just them capturing every little extra bit of my bits?
It's a little bit of both. I'm sure there is some added security from other things than Google.
Right. But they're still watching. Now they're watching. I don't know. Maybe they're not. They do no evil. So,
ever.
Right. So it should be okay.
Never. Supported sexual harassment or anything. No evil.
Yeah. Oy vey. Well, I'll say this. Speaking of VPNs, Cloudflare put out a application. Now, apparently they've offered this service for a little while. I honestly didn't know about it. Okay. It is, the gist of it is, DNS is one of the ways that a lot of bad things could hypothetically happen to you, a victim of a attack of some sorts. DNS spoofing, DNS poisoning, all kinds of this kind of thing. But also, DNS queries are a way that some of your personal private information can be leaked out, which is why me personally, back in the day, I never used my ISP's DNS servers. They have enough information on me. Let me use somebody else for that, okay? But now what this does is it enables on your phone in one click a VPN profile. And the VPN profile will also take all of your DNS and run it through, I believe, DNSSEC, which is the next-gen, more secure version of DNS, which is actually in encrypted. So the good is you can be more assured that your connection is what it says it is. You can also be assured that hypothetically, if you're in like a McDonald's using the McDonald's Wi-Fi, that you're using a VPN. I believe if I look at this way, you are literally using a VPN so the people on the local network cannot directly see your traffic. So that's good. The bad is you cannot now use like your private internet access or your NordVPN, or if you use your other VPN, you can't use this app because you're going to use one VPN profile at a time. And I'll say this, Cloudflare, based in the US, they are susceptible to FISA warrants. So if you do have Kodi and Loki and you're streaming something that some people say isn't right, this will not protect you one bit because Cloudflare will, at the drop of a dime, give all the information to the federal government without thinking. There's no doubt in my mind. So there are different reasons to use different services. This might be a good service to use in very specific circumstances.
Yeah, I saw this come around, and I'm I'm dumb when it comes to VPNs and things like that. So I wonder if I do take up the Google Fi VPN service, if this would even work.
I'm gonna
try it. I'll tell you that.
It depends how they implement it on the device, but I'm going to guess no. And I don't think I said it. The app name is 1.1.1.1:fast-and-secure-internet from Cloudflare, which just rolls off the tongue.
I got told my phone won't have it for another 2 weeks to try it out. So yeah, I'll give it a try. Yeah. So is it 1.1.1.1 is actually their server? Yes. Yeah. What do you call that? I mean, it's their IP address. IP address. Is there something else other than that? They own 1.1.1.1?
Yes.
Yeah. Huh. Wonder what that costs.
Class C. It ain't cheap.
Yeah, I'm sure. No way. Not cheap at all. But here's what I don't understand.
I mean, a Class A. Sorry.
I would think they would also be leveraging IPv6, but I didn't. At least I loaded it up and looked at it. It wasn't obvious to me.
That'd be way too many ones, though. Then it'd be a bunch of ones.
So it would be crazy long, but I would also think this thing would have to support IPv6, but I don't know.
It's probably IPv6 after you connect to it with IPv4.
That would make sense. Yeah. I would definitely agree with that. But now, here's a question. I don't know, Mark, if you know this. I think Bang thought one of the goals in the creation and the crafting of IPv6 was no more NAT routers, no more port forwarding.
Right. So in IP6... every human has enough more IP address space to them than the number of stars in our galaxy. So there's no need for routing at all anymore. But it also means you can never remember a dotted quad ever. I mean, because it's just too much.
And it should mean that anything should be directly addressable from another point.
Right. It should be. But, you know, we rely on that for a great deal of security through obscurity. And when you take that away, you're right back to the days of NIMDA, right? Because you're just out there on the internet, and there's good and bad to it. But it's so slow to adopt because it's such a huge paradigm. So much hardware would have to be replaced, and you give up. You have to come up with things to simulate the type of security we already have. You know, we solved a problem with NAT that gave us security accidentally.
Right.
And now when we get away from NAT, we have to intentionally give us that security back.
Yeah, I have a friend who is a administrator on what is right now the largest IPv6 network in the world. It's at something Virginia College, I can't remember what it is. And he has said we have had to reimagine and reevaluate and restructure a lot of our concepts and ideas on how security gets implemented. It doesn't sound easy.
Hmm. So is there any... So there's tons of numbers. I get that. Is there protocols in place somehow that there's not duplication then of these?
It's mathematically unlikely.
This is unlikely. Yeah. Okay.
Incredibly unlikely. Like literally the likelihood that you're sitting where you're at, I'm sitting where I'm at, I point in a direction and hypothetically you follow the point of my finger to one far off point in the distant universe or whatever. And then the likelihood that you are pointing at that exact same spot as me, you know, what's the odds of that?
Well, I just think of a lazy company making Wi-Fi light bulbs and coding them all with the same IP address.
The IP address will be determined from the device that it's connecting to. The MAC address is what it has.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay.
Yeah, we could do a whole big primer on IP address space if you want.
Hey, what night is this? Is this Podnuts Pro? I thought this was Android App Addicts night.
Well, here's the one thing that I heard, Mark, that you're probably much more aware of it than I am. I did not even realize, supposedly, the next HTTP standard, because we have been through 1.1.1. Kind of thing. The next one supposedly will not even use TCP/IP. It's going to use a completely different protocol, which scares the hell out of me because that means, I mean, everything. That's been the protocol for computers since token ring networks. So I don't know. I don't know how stuff's going to work and how long is that change going to take. I mean, IPv6, it's been years and nothing's moved.
Here's the question. Are you going to learn it? Are you going to learn the new, whatever this is, No, we're old well, now, right?
Well, that's the thing. I didn't have to learn TCP/IP. It was just a protocol. All I had to do was enable it.
Right.
Well, yeah, we're getting to the point where the machines will do all that for us. The AI will know how it works, and we'll just tell the AI what we want and hope it does it. Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
Exactly, and he just passed away too. The original voice of Hal, who I believe was a Canadian actor.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Boy, the days have changed, man. I remember in college making my first network of like four computers in the lab to make them communicate. Oh, so neat. And now it's just so taken for granted that everything just works. And it's so nice. I mean, honestly, those times were bad compared to what we got now. It's plug and play. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I always say the more I learn about computers, the more I'm amazed that they ever work. Mm-hmm. I'm not amazed when they don't work. I'm amazed that they do work.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Every day I go into work, it's like everything is still working. This is amazing. And here's what I just saw the other day, Mark, and I shared the picture with a friend. It was a properties window of a file in Windows 10. When you right-click the file, go to properties, and I went over to the other tab, and it showed me the last time the file was modified, okay? It was an exe that I wrote all the code for and then compiled and distributed 1998. It's still on our network at work and it's still being used, and I haven't applied any patches, any updates, any upgrades or anything. It lived on Novell NetWare servers, then Windows, like, I can't remember what the first Windows servers was, but then it went, you know, 2003.
Windows for work groups.
Yeah, and it still works. A lot has changed since 1998, but the damn thing still runs, which amazes me.
And there's so much like weird science like that too. I spent 4 hours the other day trying to get a TV channel up and running onto cable, like into Comcast. And I could get video sometimes, I could get audio sometimes, I could get nothing sometimes. It was just backwards. And literally, so what ended up working is hooking up everything backwards. Somehow it just worked, and we just like dropped everything. We're like, that was like our last ditch effort, but it's working. So, you know, you can do that too. Like your 3D printer door. If it's just working, it doesn't need to make sense on why it's working now. Just walk away and let it work. But yeah, it still makes no sense on why it works.
I was talking to my phone the other day, and it was talking back, and it didn't quite understand me. And I was getting a little frustrated that my magic box in my hand didn't quite understand me. And I thought, I had a moment, I just like, this is a box of rocks with lightning swimming around it.
I like that.
That's all it is. And I'm frustrated when it didn't fully understand me as I spoke to my phone and it spoke back to me. This is freaking Buck Rogers, and we're frustrated with it.
Yeah, and it's like amazing how quickly we accept things as the new normal is the way I'll put it. How, you know, it wasn't that long ago, the phone was, I'll say this, nearly useless. I mean, to manage the contacts on it was a pain.
Mm-hmm.
When you moved from device to device, it was literally days. And then sometimes you would just say, forget it, I don't care. And I'm just, you know, get everyone's phone numbers all over again. To where now, they're truly bi-directional, interactive, multimedia devices with real-time communications with someone next to you or across the globe. You can literally text your wife and say, when you come back from the kitchen, bring me a drink.
So you can do all that, but then there's still things that, like contacts, that won't work correctly. Or there's things like, I've got a lady in my office whose time is resetting to Eastern time. We're on Central time. A couple times a day, it'll go Eastern on her. And her daughters did the same thing. They both got a Pixel 2. I'm like, well, I got a Pixel 2, and mine's not doing it. It's got to be Verizon. Verizon says, hey, just buy a new iPhone. So, you know, things like that, that should never break. You know, that's like a clock. Those usually have worked, even on the old phones.
Well, sometimes your box of rocks leaks and the lightning comes out, so you have to go buy a new box and pour more lightning into it.
Well, and I'll say, to me, the very first thing I would do is I would tell them disable other GPS for a day, see if that fixes it. Because if your GPS all of a sudden thinks you're in Connecticut, your phone will try to adjust the time.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I that's too nice. I told her that she's hacked and she should probably, you know, be afraid.
Because that was productive.
Yeah.
That was very productive. And I will say that there are a lot of Android phones will let you not be on automatic time setting and automatic time zoning.
They tried that. I guess for some reason when they turned that didn't work. I don't know why it didn't work, but I would have thought that would have.
Then I would heavily suspect user error.
Yeah. No, I'll tell her to try to turn her GPS off for a while and see what happens. It's a good idea.
And yes, if anybody from Michelle Obama, Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I don't care. Somebody could come back from the dead. If they would run on the policy that we're going to get rid of all time zones, I'd vote for them. Or get rid of daylight savings times. I'll vote for them. I'm a simple man. Well, simple needs.
As long as they keep it daylight savings time.
I don't care. Or saving just stop times changing the friggin'. Just stop changing the clock.
Yeah, don't change it.
I've heard people make that pitch over and over. We need a single time zone that never changes and is true all over the world. We have that. It's called UTC. It has existed for years and nobody cares. If we all just started telling time in UTC, problem solved.
Oh, like, so, yeah, 8 o'clock might be 7 o'clock where you're at, but it's still...
But then we have to stop changing the time twice a year.
Well, and it doesn't. UTC doesn't change. So we just all stick on UTC time, problem solved.
Well, we go, yes, but we do go +5, +4.
No.
Change only because we change. UTC doesn't change. That's what I'm saying. If you always tell time with UTC, problem solved. We have the technology.
So it's 8 o'clock everywhere in the world at the same time. It might be dark some places. It might be light some places.
Exactly.
And it's also 14 o'clock because you got to do the 24 hour then, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I mean, that would...
So we'll have a meeting tomorrow at 8. For you, it's a breakfast meeting. For me, it's a dinner meeting. But we're meeting at 8.
Yeah.
I don't see a problem with that.
I don't either. I'm perfectly fine if when I wake up in the morning, it's 10 at night in the time, but it's actually in the morning. I'm perfectly okay with that. And I'm pretty sure after one generation, everyone would be okay with it.
Yeah, I agree.
So we're almost an hour in and we've only had two apps. I really feel that my job as host is to at least get a few more apps out of you guys.
Okay. In the chat room, I did place an app. It's up there a ways though now. If you want me to replace it, I can. It's called Fastlane Road to Revenge by Space Ape Games. This is, I picture this as Galaga, but on the streets. And,
well, I'll just say this. The image in the video before you hit play does not remind me of Galaga.
Those are all famous people.
Really?
Are they? I thought they were just like rock star video game.
Or maybe they just look similar to famous people.
I can't tell you who any of them
like
are.
It's like rock star animations. You know, rocks from like Grand Theft Auto or something.
I don't know.
Anyway, Galaga on the road. You have my attention. Please continue.
Okay. So basically this is a shooting game where... You just shoot the other cars that are on the road. They blow up. Sometimes you'll get, well, cash, and then other times you'll get upgrades for your weapons, and you just keep going and shooting stuff up.
That is Galaga on the road, or that 1942 game. It kind of looks like that. Yeah.
Well, first off, having the name Space Ape as the people making it, that right there is a checkbox of good, smart. The graphics are obviously... not real, you know what I mean? This is a pretend world, so yeah, I like that as well. Is it bullet hell, though? Is it, like, stuff coming at you at crazy amounts?
You know how I am. I'm not really a gamer, so I haven't got up to the levels where it's excessive, you know? It's not like that. I'm sure it does get there. I haven't got there.
Well, typically, bullet hell stuff, it's, like, 2 minutes in, and it's going crazy.
So yeah, no, it's not that. No, it does have great explosion. And you know, I got a much farther on this game than I had ever expected I was going to. I was surprised.
I know, but Eric, I'm always worried when I see contains ads and offers in-app purchases.
Well, hopefully, it's a single in-app purchase to get rid of the ads.
There you go. Yeah, maybe.
I don't know, but man, 462,000 reviews. Woo! Wow.
4.7 average.
Yeah, that is a lot.
So
there's a lot of people, and Lord, most of them like it a lot.
Well, this is not a good sign. In-app purchases from 99 cents to $99.99.
So keep this in mind. These are themed apps for me tonight. This one will be great for you just to sit down on the couch by yourself, ignore the family, and play in the corner. Or share, you know, or share with everybody at, you know, you've got a cool hat, man. This is a, your cousin that you haven't seen for a couple of years. He's got this nice new Samsung and he's a gamer, you know. Show him this one.
All right.
Am I emptying my tank or are we going to go back and forth for a while?
I mean, Dor hasn't offered a nap all night, so we have to assume he just doesn't have any. So please.
He had a nap? Well, I guess it wasn't a nap, was it?
I had 1.1.1.
Yeah, that was an app.
Fast and secure.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought that was there.
No.
Go ahead. Empty the tank. Give us all your time wishes.
Okay, here's another. Okay, these are manager-approved holiday apps. But you know what? I just lost my link. Let's see. See if I can do this. All right, I'm going to go to a different one.
Uh-huh.
This is another driving game. I didn't want to go in order of two driving games in a row.
Are you stealing these from Ivor? I got to ask.
Maybe. I may have stolen one or two from Ivor. It's hard not to anymore. This is called Racing Ferocity 3D Endless, unreleased. This is a new one, I guess, then, by GameXis. GameXis. It's a racing game, 10 and older. This one is just, this would be for your cousin with the new Samsung, because this is a beautifully illustrated game. It's just kind of your basic driving game, though. You know, it just looks nice. Seems to have actual real cars in it, so they may have some licenses they're working out.
Okay, yeah, I mean, it looks almost like a Need for Speed type racing action is what I'll say.
It is odd. This game not only has gas pedal, a brake pedal, and a turbo button, right? It also has a horn button. And for some reason, when you use your horn button, your headlights come on too. So it's kind of that brings the uniqueness, you know, from the other games.
That's the get out of my way button.
It must be,
I guess. Well, yeah, sure. And there's apparently four modes of play. There's endless mode, which is like endless runner type of thing. Time trial, which to me is more like Need for Speed that I remember. Challenges, I have no idea what that means. And police chase, which just means go as fast as you can and don't let them catch you, which eventually they're going to catch you because, you know, cops.
Yeah. And compete mode too, where you're 1v1 kind of thing. All right. This is another game for, and there's a little theme. I mean, there's some blowing up stuff, some bullets. And this is knives. You know, it is Thanksgiving. If you want to throw some knives at somebody, you know, sometimes your uncle will make that comment that you'd be like, yeah, you know what? I'm not sitting at the table tomorrow. I'm going to go over there on the couch and play Knife Strike, Knife Game to Hit by Gaming Hippo. So basically, this is a timing game. There's a spinning circle of wood in the middle of the screen, and you have to time your throws of a knife at it, and you hit it with the knife enough times to split the wood and move to the next chunk of wood. Timing and speed. You don't want it.
There's some serious aggression at your house.
You can't hit your knife. You got to miss your knife every time you throw it and you spin. And so every time you throw a knife, it gets stuck in the wood and spin around. There's one more you got to avoid.
I would say, Mark, maybe there isn't major aggression at his house because he's able to successfully vent so well with games like Knife Strike, Knife Game to Hit. Maybe? I don't know.
You run out of knives? It's unclear.
No. I haven't, I guess.
Endless knives.
Yeah. All these apps are just to ensure domestic tranquility during the holidays.
I'm sorry, what did you say? I have no idea what that meant.
We're going to keep it tranquil around the domesticated people of our holidays season party. We're not gonna be jumping up and, you know, I guess you could log on to Facebook and, you know, thumbs down. Oh, wait.
Oh, okay. Who said it? Okay. I'm sorry, Mark. Anybody inside the U.S., you should be able to view this with no login or anything required on PBS.org, I believe, called The Cleaners. Not family friendly, not family friendly, not family friendly whatsoever.
Hey, Dor, is this family friendly?
No. Okay. What it is it is a documentary. So right there, that should tell you from the word action or recording, the person's trying to convey something that they believe is real. So there's not a lot of proof offered in the documentary, but there's a lot of firsthand accounts offered in the documentary of people in Manila. Right now, there's apparently around 30,000 people hired in Manila who get paid about $3 a day to just log into computers because they live in literally shacks, horrible life. And then they come in, they sit at a computer screen in a 10-hour time period. They have to go through over 2,500 images and either say ignore or delete. and they're looking for the worst things on social media and getting rid of them for those companies. And they've had definite issues where people commit suicide after looking at these things for too long. But it's called the Cleaners. And if you watch that documentary, you will at least understand why, at least I believe why I'm not taking part in most social media, because I don't want to contribute to an ecosystem where that kind of thing exists. I mean, back in the day, we had 4chan, where if you wanted to look at dirty, disgusting things, you went there.
But you had to go there. It wasn't sent to you. You couldn't happen across it so easily.
Well, you could, but it was still hard to come across, kind of thing. Where now, because of the fear of government regulation, these companies have no choice but then to do their own self-censorship. And the hardest thing for AI to do is to understand intent or context. So there's no AI that's going to be able to clean up social media. It's going to have to be a real person doing it. And it's something that I would never want to do. I don't want to look at child porn as part of my job.
Yeah, if they could have AI do it, that would be like the one really great use for AI. That's a job that humans, it's got to take a toll on them. Seeing, you know, like not only like child porn, but like blood and just nasty. Who knows, man, really.
Beheadings, terrorism. And like one of the ones said, I understood the severity of my job when I realized if I let the wrong thing go by, it could literally start a war. Hmm. If that's not stress, I don't know what is.
Hmm. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Dor. That's what you pop into the TV when everybody starts getting a little lazy from eating too much turkey. Like, hey, I got a documentary. You guys want to watch it?
But not family friendly. No kids around. Tell me. I'm telling you guys right now. Oh, my Lord.
Okay. Noted. That was a good, thank you for letting us know, because it's PBS and you would think you could, but. This is my last app, guys. This is my last game for the holidays, and it's Double Guns. This one's by Ketchup. I don't know if you've heard of that small little company called Ketchup. They make fun kind of little games. Basically, there's an object on the screen, and you use a couple guns by tapping on the screen to keep it up in the air with bullets, and you just keep shooting at it to keep it up in the air until it gets so riddled with bullets it blows up, and you just keep going over and over again.
So can you aim the guns at all, and do you have infinite ammo?
Neither. You can't aim the guns, and you don't have infinite ammo. So you have to...
And contains ads and offers in-app purchases.
Yep.
Well, $2.99 per item, so hopefully you pay once $3, then no ads.
I like Scott Boyd's review, though. Boring gameplay and ads are sometimes impossible to exit. So that's just keep that in mind. I would say I didn't have an issue... exiting the ads. I don't even remember them, but...
Chase Golden says, this game is the best game in the work. Get it. I'm not a troll. It's seriously awesome. Well, I mean, he's not a troll, so we have to believe him.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
He wouldn't be able to type it out if it wasn't...
Of all the games in the work...
The best game in the work.
This is probably... Yeah, that's good. Because there's a lot of games in the work, from what I understand, Chase.
Best game in the whole work. Not a troll.
Don't you know?
That's it, though. That's my tank door, Mark.
All right. Well, let's see. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 solid 6 apps from the manager tonight. Some of these could definitely be useful. I do find, you know, there are times when you get a lot of people that you don't spend a lot of time with in a room together. You remember why you don't spend a lot of time with them. So this could be super useful.
Honestly, I shouldn't have any of these apps because Thanksgiving's at my house, and I probably should be more... socially adept to be like perusing the room, or you know, whatever you do, you swiggle. I don't even know what word I'm trying to say.
Tumbling. That's the Yiddish term for that. Tumbling.
Tumbling. I should be tumbling.
Moving from person to person. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Dor, your tank, sir.
Okay. First one I'm going to bring is a game that I really did like because of its simplicity. Is what I'm going to say. It is called Antioy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Antioy by some name I can't pronounce.
Yotro.
Thank you. Strategy game, which I can't say that too good either. E for everyone. Completely free to install, no in-app ads, no in-app purchases, 44,000 reviews, 4.6 average reviews, updated September 29th, 2018, 5.4 megs in size, 1 million plus installs, current version 1.23F, as in Frank, because it's better than E, requires 2.2 Android and up, aka you can install this on nearly anything. This is a very... Oh, man, I'm trying to think of the right words to use. The graphic style is just simple, is the way I put it. Clearly developed in another language, but it works just fine when you launch it up. It defaults to English because English is it's on your phone as the default. A very customizable game you can launch, which is basically like Risk, is the way I'll put it. There was Dice Wars game that I brought a long time ago. Which it had a little bit of the same mechanics, but this one is just simpler, where there is no numbers to really worry about. There's just different things you can build. There's like three or four different people you can build, each one more advanced and more destructive than the last. And then there's multiple infrastructure you can build, each one costing more, but then providing you with more resources. Hexagon, random looking map, drop you in with a set number of people to fight against, AI to fight against. You can make it one-on-one, or you can make it, you know, 20 people all on the same map and you've got to fight it out. Very simple strategy game. I honestly like it. And again, just completely free, no in-app ads, no in-app purchases.
Nice. I like that. I'm going to install it just for that reason. And I haven't played a lot of these games in a while, and one that's super simple would be good for me.
Very cool. Next one I'm going to bring is, I'm just going to bring this one app, but let the listener know there is a whole lot of apps under this same manufacturer. It's called Simple File Manager Pro. They just had a huge sale on a bunch of their products, is what I'll say. This one, I believe, is off sale. It's now 99 cents for the File Manager Pro. It is unbelievably clean. Simple File Manager Pro from Simple Mobile Tools in the category of tools, 247 reviews, E for everyone, 99 cents to buy, no in-app ads, no in-app purchases, 4.5 average reviews, updated November 4th, 2018, 2.4 megs in size, 10,000 plus installs, current version 6.0.0. It is family library eligible, and you need Android 5.0 and up. If you take a look at everything that this company does, and because if you like the look and feel of this app, they make a ton of applications all with the same style, whether it is Simple Calendar, Simple Drawing, Simple Contacts, Simple Notes, Simple Gallery, I thought was a very nice app that was also on sale for free, Simple Draw, Simple Thank You, Simple Contacts, Simple Music, Simple Clock, Simple Flashlight, Simple Calculator. I mean, it just keeps going and going and going. I really did like the style of the app, is what I'll say.
Yeah, I don't use anything other than my regular Files on my phone, Google Files app. And without rooting and ROMing and things like I used to do, I don't know where I'd use it. But I wish I would have bought it while it was free, I guess, if it's that nice.
Well, I'll say this. Put it on your wish list. I'm sure it will go on sale again.
Yeah.
Only a matter of time. I only needed a file manager. Like, for once in a while, I load up my Printroid, which is a Octoprint interface via an app on Android to my 3D printer, and I downloaded a time lapse on my phone. Well, it didn't download to my downloads folder. It downloaded to my SD, my internal SD card, to a folder called Printroid. And then when I went into other applications to find it, it wasn't there. So I had to open up a file manager, locate it, and then copy it to the downloads folder for it to be accessible in other applications.
Gotcha.
So I don't have a great need for a file manager, but it's nice to have one when you need it.
Yeah, it looks like they do have a free version too. If you don't want to, you'll spend the money and just try it out.
Ah, thank you. I will make sure to have that link in the notes.
I'll paste it in there now.
Thank you. Okay, the next one I have, here's going to be probably the last one. And honestly, I really wish I could make myself use this app for just like 10 minutes a day. But I know I'm not going to because I'm not. It is called Rivet Beta Better Reading Practice by Area 21 Books and Reference
Area 120
Education. Area 120 is the developer. Four reviews, completely free, family friendly label in the App Store, which I don't see too often, but it is family friendly, guaranteed kind of thing. Mm-hmm. No in-app ads, no in-app purchases. 4.2 average reviews. Updated October 29th, 2018. 21 megs in size. 100 plus installs. Current version 1.1.13 requires Android 5.0 and up. Content rating again, E for everyone. I'm an adult. I need a lot of help being able to read better. And I know most of it is just literally practice reading. I literally loaded up this app and I sat with my youngest son, who he's doing decent in math. He's doing decent in vocabulary. He's not doing good in reading and writing. So I literally sat with him for about 5 minutes with this app. And I ain't going to lie, I felt like I could read a little bit better when I looked at this app, even though it's painfully and obviously made for a child.
Well, this is great, man, for anybody with kids. Over 1,500 free leveled children's books just here on your device. So if you bought a Kindle Fire for $40, you've installed this app, and that is now worth way more than you just paid for it. This is this Area 120. They're also the ones who did the Grasshopper coding educational app too. They're good people.
This is definitely going on my kid's tablet. I've got a 10-year-old who is struggling with reading, and part of the problem is she just doesn't have a lot of things she's interested in reading, and so with 1,500, surely she can find something.
Yeah, and I'll say it's very easy for a kid to get habitually, in my belief, hooked on YouTube. And it takes a little bit more effort to get them to really be reliant on reading books. But I literally, when I came downstairs, my youngest son was sitting there with a literally like a good 3/4 inch, technically a book, but it's really not. It was 20 or something Batman comics put into one book. And he was sitting there on the couch with his mom watching TV, and he wasn't even looking at the TV. He was just reading the pages of the book. So that's the kind of thing that literally brings a grown man to tears when he sees a kid not good at reading, literally sitting there on his own reading with TV on right in front of him, and he's not even looking at the TV.
That's good. Yeah. I agree, man.
And I'm tired of buying books, so this would be a good thing.
There you go.
You want to keep your kid interested, so you got to go to the store, and they're only a few bucks each, but you do that every week. You buy 5 books a week. It gets expensive.
Yeah. The last link I just want to throw out there, and this was actually a link that I discovered on my Android device through exploration through Google Assistant, and then I was able to find the actual web page via a full desktop browser, and it's basically assistant.google.com/explore/C10. And what this basically gives you a comprehensive list of a lot of the things that you can do on your Google Assistant, aka via interactive voice commands, or on your phone. You can type out the commands if you don't want to be loud in like a public room. But you can literally say the obvious stuff like play music, play Pandora, play Fun Tricks, play Spotify, but you can say play Swedish radio, play ocean sounds, and it will bring up a little customizable widget right there in the search result where you can increase or decrease certain sounds or make it louder and quieter, and you can set a timer for it to go off in 10 minutes. You can do meditation sounds. You can manage your playlist via voice, like add things to it, to your like Chromecast playlist. There is a whole bunch of stuff you can do, and I really do encourage people. The only way you're going to find this stuff out is via exploration. And this to me was a good, at least, introduction to exploration of the kind of things you can do via the voice Google Assistant.
I got really excited there where it said you could tune an instrument. And so while you were talking, I muted my mic and said, "Hey, Schmoogle, tune my guitar." And it said, "Name a tone you'd like to hear." So it's a tone generator, not a tuner. But I guess that's mildly interesting. If you're an acapella singer and you don't have a pitch pipe handy, you can say, hey, Google, play an A.
Gotcha.
That's nice. Yeah, that's so cool. I wonder.
It's all Greek to me.
I wonder if you can say, hey, Schmoogle, play the Android App Addicts podcast.
Yes, you can.
That's nice. There you go, guys. Now when you get that new Google Home Hub for Christmas in your kitchen, you can annoy your wife.
Generally, I find the assistant, you know, we were talking about it before the show. Dora was saying, you know, Eric, you can have your assistant remind you at the locations. I find it to be remarkably intuitive. I just ask it to do in natural language what I want it to do, and a surprising amount of the time, it just says, okay, and does that. It's, and that's what the goal is, right? But it's just way better than you'd think it should be, and getting better every
day. It's come a long way. And yeah, you're right. It's getting better every day.
Yeah, and like here's another one. When you go back to the main Explorer, what can I do page, for instance, you can set a Lego City alarm. So you can set an alarm like for your kids, but when the alarm goes off, you can make it be sounds from Lego City. And I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I got my 16 minute egg timer. I should start some funky alarms for when my 16 minutes is up, like maybe chickens or something. You do 16 minutes on yours, right, Dor?
I don't do any timer. I fill it with water. I put the water in the bottom of my Rapid Dash egg cooker, and I put the eggs in, and then I hit a button, and when it buzzes, it's done.
Oh, I don't know if mine buzzes.
You let it go until it's done, and then when it's done, it buzzes. Because if it doesn't, it might catch on fire and burn your house down.
Okay. Well, I set a timer for 16 minutes, and then I unplug it and just let them kind of sit there and cool off a little bit. Okay. Is it a really annoying buzz? Like just a horrible buzz?
It is the kind of buzz where you will not question what you have to do. You have to go turn it off.
Okay. So
there's no, what is that sound? Is that your, no, there's no confusing what this sound
is. I think I've heard it. Maybe that's why I set a time. Yeah. I think I have, because I was like, what was that? What in 2018 makes that noise?
The wife hates
it. It's horrible. It's a horrible noise. Yes. See, do our kindness, man. Get a Google Hub and set your timer for 16 minutes. Anyway, I think I found a show title. You know, I don't know. I'm not the show title guy. Our YouTubers in the chat room are, but Isn't That a Horrible Buzz would be a great show title.
All right, so let me review the apps. Yahoo Sports, scores, stats, news, and highlights by Yahoo Sports. 1.1.1.1, colon, faster and safer internet by Cloudflare. Fastlane, Road to Revenge by Space Ape Games. Racing Ferocity 3D, colon, endless, unreleased, by Gamexus. Knife Strike, Knife Game to Hit by Gaming Hippo. Double Guns by Ketchup. Antio by Yotro. Simple File Manager Pro by Simple Mobile Tools, Rivet Beta Better Reading Practice by Area 120, and Google Assistant by Google.
Thank you, Mark.
10 apps if you call the Google Assistant an app. We'll give it a pass on that. But some good discussion. So all in all, I dub this show a success.
I second that.
All those in favor? All those opposed?
Aye.
Okay.
So
motion carried.
A little programming note, it is my assumption that next week, being Thanksgiving Day, we will not be doing a podcast.
Yeah, I can't. Well, I am going to go to work Friday because I'm dumb and we don't have off that day, but I can't picture being home in time at all.
And Eric will be too busy shooting things with two guns.
Yeah, I'm taking, it's at my house. I probably won't be available in that case, won't I? Because there'll probably be there people here.
All right, so just, the YouTubers out there, take the night off, dry out a little bit.
Yeah, week. And that's just the two things. We're heard outside the U.S., so if you already celebrated Thanksgiving, hope you had a good one. If you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, hope you have a good holiday, whatever's coming up. And honestly, Mark, basically exactly like what you said on Geek Rant, Veterans Day just passed. I want to thank everybody for any service that you do for any country that you belong to. Because you are supposed to have at least some amount of national pride wherever you live. If you're in Mexico and you're in the Mexican army and you went and did that because you're proud of your country, good. Thank you. If you're in Poland and you did it for the Polish whatever, good. Thank you. We need a certain percentage of the world's population to at least have some pride in their own country and go out and be willing to do what people like me aren't really cut up to do.
And when the ant people invade, we will need all of you to band together and, you know, protect our world.
And, yeah, to do our part. Yes, and become full-fledged citizens, was it? In Starship Troopers, to become a full citizen, you had to be in the army or something.
Well, ooby-dooby-dooby-boy, the cigar-shaped asteroid went right past and didn't even phase us. I thought it was the Day of Reckoning.
It was an alien probe.
Well, there is a lot of questions left about that thing. And here's how stupid we are. It went past us. It went around the sun. It went past us again, and then we saw it.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally like we're like we have an IQ of like 50. Oh, what? Oh, boy. Oh, that thing went by. Oh, my. You know, now, if it suddenly stops and the outer solar system comes to a dead stop, then we have to worry.
Yeah.
But as long as it keeps going on, we're
just
fine.
Because it sped up and was glowing red, but nothing to see here, folks.
Yeah. Speeding up as it approaches the planet, that's really not a big deal. Everything does that when it approaches a gravity well. Slowing down, that's when we pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do believe it did, after wrapping around the sun and after passing us up, we did detect a speed up, which we think we should not. It should not.
It was an unnatural speed up, right? It was not affected by gravity that we know of.
Well, but what they believe is that it could have been partial comet, partial asteroid, because of the sun hitting it at that angle. It was causing it to eject material, which was causing the, we don't know, is the bottom line. For all we know, it's aliens. Like the guy from History Channel, Ancient Aliens with the Hair, Aliens, we don't know. Or it could just be a stupid rock.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. The guy, everybody knows him by the hair, Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, he has no name. He might just be.
He does.
Well, he does, but nobody knows it.
I know two people that met him, like in airport, where his hair is still mildly, you know, up in the air. And they sat down and talked to him, two different people, two different times. And both of them said, unbelievably nice guy. And he basically admitted to us, you know, independently, each one, that, dude, this is just my job.
Did you see the clip of the Joe Rogan podcast where Alex Jones calls him an alien? You gotta see. Yeah, it's funny. It's hilarious. He calls him out. He's like, Alex Jones is convinced that Joe Rogan's an alien. And to let him know during his podcast interview on his show, his own show. That was neat. Check it out, folks. There's one more thing you can watch and share during Thanksgiving. Everybody likes to hear Alex Jones during Thanksgiving. All right, finish this for us, Mark. We can't stop.
I was just kind of waiting for it to peter out, and it just didn't. You know, the peter never ran out. Wait, that's not it. So this is the part of the show where I thank you, the listener, for hanging out with us this nearly hour and a half. I'm not entirely sure I know why, but you like what we do, and I thank you for that. I'm glad you like what you do. And the best way that you could show your like for what we do is to give us money. We're real people with real families to feed and stuff. And, you know, we get together every week-ish, and we do this show. And it's time that we take away from other things. And when you take time away from things you want to do, you call that work. And then you go to work. And when you go to work, you get paid. I'm just saying, if you like what we do, maybe you should pay a little bit. And you can do that by going to patreon.com/androidaddicts. And as I always say, you pay for what you like. You like it, pay for it. We live in this world where we expect to get everything for free. And it's like a stunner when something actually costs money. What do you mean that app costs 99 cents? But none of us want to do anything for free. So I'm just saying, put your money where your like is. patreon.com/androidaddicts. So there you go. That's my bit, my commercial. This will be the last podcast of November 2018. I don't know that that's momentous in any way, but I'm just going to go. No, wait, there is one more week, isn't it? Because Thanksgiving's early this week. So never mind. What do you got to say goodnight to us?
Wow, you really caught me off guard with that one, Mark. I want to thank everyone for their support. And do not forget, open up your podcatching client. Search for Pod Nuts. There's all kinds of shows from Matt and MRP talking about a new Ben Stiller movie that was literally filmed in his town.
Oh.
And it's not a comedy. Very interesting movie about a prison break that I'm going to actually watch now because Matt talked about it. We have Pod Nuts Pro with Marvin, Pod Nuts with Jeff, Paco with Tech Life. We got all kinds of content for all kinds of people. And I will ask people, the easiest way to support us is literally just open up your podcatching client and give us a review. I don't care if it's 3 stars, because here's like one of the dirty secrets. Thumbing down a YouTube video is 100 times more positive than doing nothing and just watching the video. Thumbs down shows interactions. It shows that somebody is passionate enough to at least click down, and that is absolutely a positive measurement in the YouTube system. So even if you go onto Google Play Podcast and you click on Android App Addicts, and even if you give us 2 out of 5 stars or whatever, that is still 100 times better than doing nothing. So if you give us any reviews, it'll be greatly appreciated. If you want to support us financially, it'd be greatly appreciated. We have fun doing this, and encouragement is never a bad thing.
And if you want to turn in your fire retardant cylinders, just leave us a message at 7076PODNUT. And make sure you guys use your meat thermometers this year with your turkeys. Get them cooked all the way before you start down on them.
Super quick last thing. If anybody was a fan of the television show Good Eats.
Oh, it's back.
Good Eats Reloaded, I believe it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And what it is, it's a, I believe, 10 series of shows going back, looking at certain episodes from the original series, which was now more than a decade ago, and reviewing what he did right and what he did wrong in those episodes in preparation for a all new series. So if you were a fan of learning about food and why things did what they did and how to do things and how to make the best food and chemically how it happened kind of thing, great show. Cannot suggest it more. And what seems like a really nice guy hosting the show, which helps. Really bad tasting clothes, but a really nice guy.
And one cooking tip that could save your life. If you intend to deep fry a turkey, take said turkey, put it in said vessel, pour water over it, and measure the water. And once you have just covered the surface of the turkey, you know exactly how much oil to use the next day.
Yeah.
This is an important thing. If you overflow that, you burn your house down.
Yes. And don't put your deep fryer turkey on a wooden porch. You're just asking for trouble.
I've done that, but I had cardboard under.
Well, you're smarter than the average fella.
But yeah, I don't do that anymore. Anyway, deep frying turkeys are delicious, but also dangerous. It's probably one of the few foods in the world that can kill you and your whole family. So, with that cheery note, I will say that's it for this episode of Android App Addicts, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Bye, everybody.
My name is Jeff Houch. I am the host of PodNuts, the Computer Repair Podcast, where we take live calls on the air to answer your questions on running and operating your computer repair business every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/Computer Repair Podcast Live.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.